than your travels.
Welcome, everybody. This is the Life Enthusiast Health Online Radio and TV Lab. I'm Scott Patton. He's Martin Patella, the health coach at Life Enthusiast. And we're here restoring vitality to you and the planet. I happen to be in Belize, and the internet connection is a little bit wonky, so I might fade in and out. I might stop talking or stop moving. But we're going to do the best that we can because we've got really important information to share with you today. A little bit about Epstein-Barr virus and a lot about something scientists don't quite get or understand, and that has to do with something else curing you instead of prescription drugs. So, Martin, what is this medical medium that you've discovered?
Right. So,
who?
I haven't really discovered anything. An email showed up about a book. This is published by the Hay House, and this is a book. It's not a thin book. And in the back of the book, we have a picture of a fellow. He is, his name is Anthony William. And the book tells his story, or in the book, he tells his story. He shares with the world that since his childhood, he has been hearing a voice out here, not inside, out here, talking into his ear. And it's most annoying because it just incessantly talks to him, telling him what is wrong with the person that's in front of him or that he's focusing on, and just keeps telling him whatever. And the story starts with him as a, I think, 4-year-old, if I remember right, coming up to his grandmother, having to place his hands on her chest and saying, lung cancer.
And sure enough, a couple weeks later, they found out she had it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, that's what happened. And Hay House was nice enough to publish one of the chapters, the chapter 4, from this book, and they put it online. So we have that to discuss. We, you know, that's out in the public. I can certainly talk about what's in the rest of the book, but it's interesting that they shared enough of it that that we would like to talk about that. Like, you read it just today, right?
Yes. Yeah. Pretty amazing.
Indeed. So let's just share some of that. I guess the thoughts are these. Anthony William, as the medical medium, says that he constantly hears the voice that tells him about a specific person in front of him. What he seems to be doing is he's writing a book about what he thinks everybody should be doing. He's just, in the book, he says, this is advice for everyone.
Mm.
His main statement that is currently not supported by research, that he says, well, science will eventually catch up to me. But I want to tell you that there is a virus on the loose that has multiple forms. I think he catalogs 6 variations of it, gradually more and more virulent and dangerous and awful. And this Epstein-Barr virus, commonly known or referred to in our society as the mononucleosis, mono, or the kissing disease. But according to him, it's behind much more than that. And he says, I don't know. Scott, do you think it's useful to go through the stages as published, or should we just put a link to it somehow?
I put a link on the sidebar, and I'll put a link in the podcast for it. I'm not sure why it hasn't shown up in the sidebar.
Right.
But I'll do that, and we'll do that again. I think starting at the beginning is probably the best place. The article is absolutely fascinating. He calls Epstein-Barr the secret epidemic. And he says out of 300 million people in the United States, 225 million of them have some form of the virus.
That would be two-thirds.
And, you know, all these mystery illnesses that we have, like, you know, chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia or all these things, like you don't seem to be able to pull out your blood and look at the blood and say, oh, there it is. He says this is responsible for a lot of that.
Indeed. And the mystery illness, and it's getting worse. And then he talks about the origins and the transmissions. And he says that this thing has been with us since about 1910, 1920. And he says it was discovered by two brilliant physicians in 1964. I wonder if one of them was called Epstein and the other one Barr.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, so yeah, many ways to catch it. And of course, number one, transmit it from mother to child, which is nasty. Another one is through infected blood. I don't know if you remember back in the 80s and 90s when HIV and AIDS hit the consciousness. We didn't know how it was transmitted. Then we realized that it was bodily fluids, and we had to ban all blood transfusions from people who practiced unsafe sex and or were carriers of this. Well, turns out that Epstein-Barr infection can be also passed this way, except nobody's testing for it. So he's saying, look, it's as easy as somebody who's preparing your meal somewhere in a kitchen, cuts his finger, gets some of it on your salad or on your food somehow, and off you go. There you are. So bodily fluids exchanges, I mean, anything intimate, I guess we can't really get away from it.
No.
So then he talks
if
about
someone's got it. They're going to get it or give it.
Yeah. I mean, now that 2/3 of the population is infected, going from 2/3 to 9/10 is not a big stretch. So we may as well assume that all of us will either already have it or get it. I certainly have the symptoms of it. All of my children and my wife has symptoms of it. So I don't know. Anyway, so then he talks about the stages. Long initial dormant period where nothing's going on other than the viruses busily replicating and finding ways to just place themselves, walling off. He calls it fortifying itself, waiting for the opportunity to bloom. So he says the virus is vulnerable during stage one, but because it's undetectable through tests and causes no symptoms, you wouldn't know that you have it, that you need to fight it, so you just don't even know. Then comes stage two, which is it's going to start hitting you, right? The line says, medical communities are unaware that every case of mononucleosis is stage two of Epstein-Barr virus.
Right.
This is the period during which it's the most contagious. So just spitting on somebody, like for instance myself, I had mono at 15 and I caught it during travel from eating fruit, not from kissing a girl. I wished when I was 15, but it wasn't that.
So we have a period where everybody gets mononucleosis. It seems like more and more people are getting mononucleosis. Like I keep hearing about hockey players that get it and people it runs through the schools.
Yeah. Sounds like we lost you, hey, Scott?
I'm here.
Okay. Sure enough, I have people knocking at my door here saying, oh, I need something. Help me, help me. I just don't know this life of a health coach. I'm getting forever interrupted by things. Well, anyway, so that was the stage two, during which we have, well, let me just read this bit. You can get hit hard with fatigue, sore throat, fever, headache, rashes, and just be like that for several months. So you may go see a doctor. They may test your blood. They may see the Epstein-Barr most of the time. But those symptoms go away, and it goes dormant again. Now, here's another line. One other secret about Epstein-Barr is that it has a best friend, a bacterium called Streptococcus.
Strep throat, that's what I was going to say. That's something and else everybody gets.
Yeah. So your body is dealing with not only a virus, but also a bacterium. And so complications. So then he says, well, you can get into stage three. Now the virus is settling into your liver, spleen, other organs, and is nesting there.
What a great description, eh? Nesting there.
Nesting. So from that point on, when a doctor tests for Epstein-Barr, they will find antibodies and take these to indicate a past infection, as in when the EBV was in its mononucleosis phase. But they will not find it in its active in the bloodstream. And this he calls the biggest blunder, or one of the biggest blunders in medical history. Because it's living in your organs, and there's no test that has been invented to detect it. So here comes the voice telling him what that is, right? Like, we have no medical proof, and we have no scientific proof, and this book just puts itself out there and says, well, people, you can either take it or leave it. You can either believe it or not. And it's interesting because a lot of intuitive or alternative health practices are based on just thinking that something is so and acting on the hunch. Mm. And if we do, we might get it right. Or not. This is the big unknowing. Should we trust this or should we not?
And so much of our medical system is based on the thought that we test your blood and your blood tells us what's going on. And if it's not there, you don't have it.
Right. And which is what he correctly points out. Well, you used to have it, but now we think you don't. Well, the only thing we know about it, that it's not in the blood. But because we're not puncturing your organs, like your liver, and testing for it, we don't know. So then he says the virus creates three types of poison. Toxic waste, or viral byproduct, as it keeps it expanding. And then when the cell of the virus itself, that's wrong, this virus is not a cell. This is what bugs me with him and his writings, because he's at some parts, it just seems so logical and makes such good sense. And then he throws in stuff that if you have done any serious studying about physiology or the metabolic typing biological individuality, as I have, some of the stuff that he puts out just doesn't check out. So what I was saying is that I actually find things that are not, how do I best put it? I cannot agree what he's saying based on what I've studied. So it gives me a pause. Is it mostly right, partly right? Is everything that he puts out to be questioned, or is most of it correct? Anyway, we need to act on the information and make the best of it, right? So he says here that the Epstein-Barr virus puts out toxins that are causing false diagnoses, because it looks like spirochetes, which trigger false positives on tests like Lyme disease. That's not funny. So he says, okay, many people think they're being infected by Lyme, when in fact they were infected by Epstein-Barr and they have a false Lyme diagnosis. This still doesn't take away the fact that they're in trouble, that their immune system is giving them terrible time. So the issues that will result from an aggressive variety of Epstein-Barr nesting in your organs will include your liver performing so sluggishly that it does a poor job of flushing toxins out of your system. You'll get hepatitis C. Anthony says that Epstein-Barr virus is actually the primary cause of hepatitis C. Your liver's sluggish performance is leading to lowering of your stomach's hydrochloric acid, your intestinal tract starting to become toxic. So this will be part of the leaky gut syndrome, digestion becoming less than perfect, and so on. And then developing sensitivities to foods that never used to cause you problems before. Well, I'm certainly a lovely example of it. At this stage of my life, in the last 2-3 years, I've started developing sensitivities to things that previously were no problem. And my first symptom is that it shows up on my face.
Okay, Martin, so you mentioned that the cells of the virus dies, and of course the virus is probably a single cell thing, so...
No, actually it's not a cell, you know, like that's the whole thing, that virus actually is less than a cell. So this is where, you know, he puts down, when a cell of the virus dies, well, no, virus is even less than a cell. It's not a complete cell. Well, it's sort of like a cell, but it doesn't have any genetic material. What does it not have? Doesn't have nucleus, right?
You know, just as a getting off on a tangent here, which I would hate to do to you, but this whole idea of viruses being alive and being dead, you know, isn't that a concept for, you know, deer and antelope and lions and human beings? And when you get into that really, really small stuff, is it, you know, we talk about cells dying and cells living, but I think when it gets into and part of the reason for this is they talk about dead viruses. And right. Well, it's like, it's kind of dead, like it's not dead as in inactive, but what does it take? Like if an inactive person who is dead never becomes active again unless they turn into a zombie. But viruses, they can be inactive for very long periods of time and then for whatever reason decide to become active again. So we call them dead, and then they're actually, maybe they're not quite dead, and under certain conditions they become alive again. Because mm-hmm. the definition of life is different at that level than what we use.
Right. And there's the other thing, which is this. Like, for instance, the common influenza, the flu, is also a viral disease. And so this viral infection comes into the classroom. And we have an epidemic when 10 people out of the 30 are so sick that they don't come to school.
Right.
Well, what's with the other 20? How come not everybody is sick? Now, Anthony here claims that 2/3 of the population are infected with it, and then this creature is particularly terrible because it goes through these phases when it's dormant and undetectable, but when in fact it's just burrowing and getting ready for the next stage when it's going to be even worse, which is the scary part. So if he's right, we're in deep doo-doo, because I thought that I was doing just fine, when in fact it's looking to me now that I'm not doing just fine at all.
Mm. You're just between stages.
Right. So he says, you know, like I did have the mono when I was 15, and then I had my health breakdown because of my mercury toxicity in my 20s. But then I, through my 30s and 40s and 50s, I worked it all out. Well, now it's in my 60s, and 2 years ago, I started having nasty issues. And so I'm reading here. If you have a typical variety, EBV could lie dormant in your organs for years, possibly decades, without your knowing it. If you have an especially aggressive variety, though, it may create serious problems even while it's nesting. So then he talks about, well, you can get false diagnosis for Lyme disease. That's not funny. He says that many people who are diagnosed with Lyme is actually caused by Epstein-Barr. And this is kind of likely because many people who have never been bitten by a tick, have never had that bull rash, bull's eye rash from the bite, have the symptoms of Lyme. So it would follow that the blaming of the tick is not necessarily correct. Then he goes on to say your liver is going to be sluggish. Well, I certainly have that. You can be diagnosed with hepatitis C. That's not funny. Your recent liver episode, who knows, maybe it's Epstein-Barr.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then we go into the next thing called lupus. The immune system response I've just described triggers the mysterious symptoms that doctors can diagnose as lupus. I mean, that's just a label. Doctors are confused, right? And so he says here, medical communities have no understanding that lupus is just the body reacting to Epstein-Barr byproducts and neurotoxins. It's the body having an allergic reaction to these neurotoxins, which then elevates the inflammatory markers the doctors search for to identify and diagnose lupus. In truth, lupus is just a viral infection of Epstein-Barr. Hypothyroidism and other thyroid disorders. I mean, this is the most common problem, both Hashimoto's and Graves' diagnoses. Hashimoto's for when your thyroid's running low, Graves' when your thyroid's running too high, too hot. And then it blames it on Epstein-Barr. Once inside your thyroid, Epstein-Barr virus begins drilling into its tissues. The virus cells literally twist and spin like drills to burrow deep into the thyroid, killing thyroid cells and scarring the organ as they go, creating hidden hypothyroidism in millions of women, from mild cases to the more extreme.
Yikes, that doesn't sound like much fun.
Oh, no. And, of course, low thyroid, cold feet, cold hands, unable to warm up, unable to shed weight. You just have excess weights that you can't lose. Lackluster hair falling out, thinning out, getting kind of coarse and thin and whatever. Lackluster hair, it's called. And, you know, you look at my eyes, those are the eyes of underperforming thyroid. Bags under the eyes, circles under the eyes, puffy eyelids, and thinning outer third or half of your eyebrows. So I'm certainly a perfect example of whatever he's describing. So that was stage 3. Now we have stage 4. The ultimate goal of the Epstein-Barr virus is to leave your thyroid and inflame your central nervous system.
Oh, so things like chronic pain.
Yeah. Yeah, the typical reaction, feel like a truck hit me.
Right.
Blood tests, x-rays, MRIs reveal nothing wrong. So doctors are not aware that the virus is now inflaming your nerves. So stage 4 Epstein-Barr is the major source of mystery illness. The problems that cause doctors massive confusion.
Right, because the blood tests don't show anything, x-rays don't show anything, MRIs don't show anything, nothing shows anything wrong. It's all in your head.
Right. Yeah, so when a nerve is injured, the hairs that are like, you know, your hair is sort of like a piece of string, like rope, that has these little side hairs coming out of it, right?
And, yeah.
He says here, Epstein-Barr looks for those openings, grabs onto them, and if it succeeds, it can keep an area inflamed for years. As a result, you can have relatively small injury that remains flared up and causes you continual pain.
And then we get into chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia and tinnitus, the hearing in the ear, vertigo. It just keeps on going.
Right. So these are, of course, many of the symptoms that are called these days the autoimmune disease, right? But they're different labels. ME for myalgic encephalomyelitis, CFS, chronic fatigue syndrome, chronic fatigue immune dysfunction syndrome, systemic exertion intolerance disease.
So if he's right, we've kind of found the cause of all these problems that we're trying to deal with.
Right, the big mystery.
So what can you do about this, Martin?
Well, okay, let's just build some more crazy, okay? So tinnitus, vertigo, meniere's, anxiety, dizziness, chest tightness, chest pain, esophageal spasms, asthma. What's really weird here is that he's listing symptoms that we can also trigger through mismanaging our meals, right? These are the symptoms of swinging out into too alkaline or too acidic. But anyway, okay, types of Epstein-Barr. He has 5 groups of it, and actually 6.
And there's 60 varieties of the virus.
Right. So it's very, very complex. Anyway, so, okay, let's talk about what we can do about it. So this is where I'm sort of at odds with what he's saying in his book. I went to the pains of listing it all, putting it all in a spreadsheet. I just thought, okay, let's see what he says about what he says. And so these little X's, I put down the fibromyalgia, the multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, thyroid problems, pancreas problems, adrenal problems, shingles, ADHD, and PTSD. So each one of these columns with the little X's. So I thought, well, all right, let's see how it goes together, what he says for what. So his most favorite things are blueberries, especially wild blueberries, because they help restore the central nervous system. Celery, because it strengthens the hydrochloric acid in your stomach and in the gut, and mineral salts. Sprouts, everything sprouted, which is, of course, living food, and it's high in minerals, zinc, selenium, strengthening your immune system. He likes asparagus, spinach, cilantro, parsley. Makes sense. These are healing herbs. Coconut oil, because it's one of the healthy essential fatty acids. Garlic, ginger, raspberries, lettuce, papayas, apricots, pomegranates, grapefruit, kale, sweet potatoes, cucumbers, and fennel. What's really interesting about all that is that it reminds me of the ingredients we use in the Exula products.
Mm.
It's that sort of a superfood blend focus on mineral rich, focus on enzyme rich, raw, sprouted, focus on rich in pigments, you know, colors, stuff that's found in the fruits. It's interesting that he promotes fruits a lot. He tells that fruits have been vilified needlessly, that we actually should eat a lot of fruit. And I'm thinking, well, yes, it's good. But depending on our body type, depending on the metabolic dominance, some of us can handle it. Some of us get depressed from eating too much of it.
Well, you just need to see where you land in there, right? Like you need to just see where, how much fruit is good for you. Some of us maybe are not taking as much as we should.
Yeah. No, I would say most of us don't get enough. And of course, here are the problems. We need to be eating organic, right? Like eating toxic fruits that's been sprayed with pesticides, not a good idea. Eating produce that has been sprayed down with herbicides or contains glyphosate and other nasty toxins, not a good idea. So then I started reading about the herbs and the supplements. And he mentions cat's claw. Again, one of the ingredients that we put into all of the Exula products. Silver hydrosol, which also is known as colloidal silver. That helps to diminish viral load. What's interesting that I didn't find in the book is humic and fulvic acid. Now I'm thinking, he may have never learned of it. This is the filter, you know, like when a person is channeling some voices from out there, he may be hearing the voice clearly, but then he starts interpreting. How did you put it the other day? Do you remember?
Our ego gets in the way of the information flowing. If it doesn't fit in with the ego's belief system, then it'll just sort of, on a subconscious level, erase it or delete it.
Yeah, yeah. If it doesn't seem to fit your view of the world, you kill it or delete it. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's kind of interesting because a lot of great nutritionists have these blinders on. Like most of the naturopathic literature pretends that everybody in this world is a autonomic sympathetic dominant, which I happen to be that. So most books that I read fit me to the T. Mm. But my wife is not. My wife is a parasympathetic, and when we tried doing what the books advise, it wasn't working for her.
So anyway, we've got all these herbs and minerals that she's talking about getting.
They make sense. You know, there's the zinc, vitamin B12, 5-MTHF, which is methyl tetrahydrofolate. That essentially means that it's a methylated folic material. Folate as in leaves, foliage. So you start with the green stuff, like green in leaves or green in grass or spirulina chlorella, and then you methylate it, and then you process it. So that's the stuff that is strengthening your endocrine system and your central nervous system. That is the, well, really important metabolite.
And then we have selenium and algae and L-listine and spirulina and vitamin C and nettle leaf, and it just goes on and on. Well, star and eyes.
And star anise.
And curcumin, which is why I'm down in Belize right now, because I'm helping a friend of mine who's starting up a turmeric operation to make turmeric paste for curries and smoothies and everything else. And of course, in Belize, the turmeric has the highest level of curcumin in the world. And it was brought here by people from India, and this particular type that they brought was very, very high in curcumin, and most isn't that high anywhere else anymore. So that's kind of interesting how that ties in with why I'm down here.
Yes, it's awesome. And of course, you hear all these wonderful stories, people taking turmeric pills or just chop it up, put it in their smoothies, or taking the curcumin concentrates. Again, we add this into many of the Exela products. So when you are taking the Exela superfoods, you're getting a decent load of these nutrients. For instance, the red marine algae, that is the, for instance, we use the Eclonia, that's a deep red marine algae. We have a product that's the Eclonia mixed together with curcumin. That's the Algaran. Awesome product.
Yes.
Anyway. So I went through the whole book, and I read stories about people with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue and all of those wonderful stories how normal function is restored. And the normal function is restored by doing a lifestyle change. The lifestyle change focuses on the same method that we have been advocating here all along, which is get rid of the five white dead foods, white sugar, white or refined sugar, refined flour, refined salt, refined oil, and refined flour. In fact, these days we need to go that as far as getting rid of all flour. Many of us are not able to deal with gluten anymore. Not necessarily because of the gluten, because I tell you, I was in Europe traveling. I could eat the European, especially Italian, pasta or bread, no problem. But I cannot eat it here. I was asking the Italians, what did they do differently? And they said, it's legislated in Italy that you have to produce the grain the old-fashioned way. We do not grow the dwarf wheat. Our wheat is the tall, 4-foot-tall, old-fashioned wheat. And it does not have 13% gluten. It has 6% gluten.
There you go.
Wouldn't you know? So I was just fine on Italian bread in Italy. I can't eat it here. American grain, can't touch it. Anyway.
So we change our lifestyle, we change our diet, and all of a sudden Epsom Bar starts to have less of an impact.
Well, the immune system gets the lift that it needs to be able to deal with it. One other item that he's not mentioning here at all is cannabidiol. And yet that has the most profound effect on the nervous system, and It's got this effect of calming down the nerves and calming down the immune system. In fact, I saw a lecture where it was showing that about 600 different genes get down-regulated by or in presence of CBD. Most of them have to do with the inflammatory reactions in the body. So thank God we have this available to us.
That's right. So, Martin, tell us a little bit more about the rest of the book, because we've kind of gotten into Epstein-Barr in great detail, but what are some of the other areas that he talks about in the book, and what were your thoughts on it?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are other chapters. I mean, the whole thing really is about the Epstein-Barr as a cause of trouble, and then he goes into other illnesses such as starts with the fibromyalgia as the biggest, but then we go into multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's, type 2 diabetes and hypoglycemia, adrenal fatigue, candida, migraine, shingles, colitis, TMJ, diabetic neuropathy. All of these things to us our autonomic nervous system, it's autoimmune reactions, like the immune system working against itself or against the body.
Right.
Autism gets mentioned here. PTSD gets mentioned, depression, PMS and menopause, Lyme disease. And finally, here's the how to finally heal. So he goes through the process of what do you need to do? And number one, gut health, right? That's why there's so much success in dealing with leaky gut. And we've been talking about it for the longest time, right?
Yes.
Rebuilding the hydrochloric acid, which means eat more salt or use magnesium chloride to raise your chloride levels in the body, because that's what you need. Vitamin B12, you need to have the right flora in the gut, the right kind of microbes to produce the vitamin B12, or else you have to supplement it. So, diatomaceous earth, he says, don't do it. Apple cider vinegar, he's not for it. And yet, here's the funny thing. People who do need potassium do great on apple cider vinegar. So, I don't know. So then the next chapter is freeing your body from toxins. And number one, guess which? Mercury. The dirty secret of mercury. And so he then, again, mentions zeolite, doesn't go very heavy into it, but talks about barley grass juice, spirulina, cilantro, blueberries, dulse. Again, all of these heavily supplements in the Exula products. And, of course, the problem of pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, plastic, cleaning fluids, and other cleaners, and radiation, and what else to do. Okay, I would put humic, fulvic, and zeolite up there, and it's missing. So I don't know if he's not listening to his medium or if his medium doesn't know it. I mean, it's the weirdest thing, right? Why is the voice that should be the voice of universal consciousness that should know everything, why is that voice not telling him about some of the things? And then it goes into what not to eat. Well, we've been over that territory, you and I. Genetically modified foods. Do not eat corn and soy. They have been lost to the GMO industry. Canola oil, bad news. Beet sugar, same problem. He's against eggs. I think the main reason he's against eggs is because you need to have organic free-range eggs from chickens that have been living in sunshine eating bugs. And those are hard to come by. Dairy, the dairy that has been homogenized is essentially a problematic because the globules of fat that have been reduced into such tiny particles become a problem for your gut. And then the other ones that get on this list are pork, farmed fish, gluten, MSG, artificial flavors, artificial sweeteners, and supplements to not bother with, L-carnitine, glandular supplements. Those would be the whole glands, like whole desiccated, I don't know what, pancreas desiccated, thyroid desiccated, adrenals. And then he doesn't like whey protein, mainly probably because dairy. Fish oil supplements, mainly probably because fish are contaminated. And iron supplements. He says, even though iron in the right amounts is good for you, viruses love to feed on iron. Almost all cases of anemia are caused by low-grade viral infections. You should therefore avoid iron supplements that are not plant-based. So instead, use the natural. Eat spinach, barley grass, Swiss chard, pumpkin seeds, asparagus, squash, and other vegetables and fruits that have high amount of iron. And then he goes into this fruit fear that I mentioned, where he says, come on, people, eat fruit. It's good for you. Fruit is not the problem. And hybridization, he's against that sort of thing. I suppose that all makes sense. And then finally, there's a 28-day cleanse, which, well, you need to buy the book to get that.
That's there's quite a commitment to cleanse.
Yeah, commit to cleansing. Celery juice, fruits. Anyway. And then there are soul healing practices. It's kind of interesting. He definitely teaches some very uncommon ways. And I'm going to test it. I'm not sure. But certainly I can say this. I really am intrigued. I think it intuitively makes sense to me what he's saying, this Epstein-Barr infection, if indeed it proves to be right. He's well ahead of his time. But even if he's not right, even if we pretend that he's right and do what he suggests, we're going to do a lot better.
Well, that's key, is right. Make sure you're going in the right way and make sure you're not continuing to dig a hole.
Right. Yes, indeed.
And I was thinking, too, about what you said about the spiritual aspect of it. And, you know, it's, you know, we use the word spirits. So we assume it's universal consciousness. But, you know, what if it's a library and he's tapped into the library, but he's only gone to the vitamin C, vitamin D, and vitamin E section of the library, and he's ignored the vitamin A section of the library, so he hasn't got that knowledge coming through him, right? It may be what he's asking for that he's getting the answer. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of interesting that he's hit on a lot of things we think are important, and yet he's missed a few. And maybe it's because he has to ask the right question or be in the right place, and he's in the wrong stack. You got to go over two stacks to get that information done.
It could be that.
Because, like people are not infallible, and I suspect he's obviously not either, or don't agree only with, so something to think about.
Yeah, that may be a good analysis. Or the ego filtering things that don't want to come through because he wants to believe that everybody should be a fruitarian, vegetarian, and that the hunter genetics are to be exterminated. Because, yeah, after all, that's how it
would
needs
be the
to
ego
go.
Part for sure, wouldn't it? Yeah. Cool. Okay, Martin, somebody interested in saying, okay, you know, I want to find out more about this Sinbar thing, then and we just got a link to the cdd.gov for Epstein-Barr and about it. But if somebody wanted to learn a little bit more and contact you, how should they go about doing that?
Well, we're going to post this on the blog together with the right links so they can come to life-enthusiast.com and find it on our podcast blog articles. And if they want to discuss what we can do about it, call us on the phone, 866-543-3388. We're here 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. all the time, Pacific time. Looks like Scott's picture has frozen, so not. So we're being asked some questions on the blab, so I'll answer that, which is Chris B. says, are you doctors? And the answer is no. My qualification is CMTA, Certified Metabolic Typing Advisor, and my original training is systems analyst. And the reason I know lots about health is because I had to re-engineer myself because I was quite unwell and I was not getting help in the mainstream and I was not getting help in the alternative, mainly for the reason of these people being taught to treat symptoms instead of look at causes. In other words, they're using the tactical approach instead of a strategic. I guess you could easily call me a health engineer. Definitely not a doctor, and with every legal disclaimer that you need, as in, I do not diagnose, treat, or anything of the sort. I can only offer education and yeah, that's about it. Education about physiology, about foods, and what might work for me. And a question came up if we've heard of Osler's web, and the answer to that is no. I'll look it up. Thank you, Chris, for asking these questions. That's awesome. We'll check it out. If it's a syndrome is a, yeah, I see here that there's a link, the Osler's web labyrinth syndrome. The moment the medical mainstream uses the word syndrome, they use that as a code word for, we don't know what to do about it, we don't know what causes it, and we don't know what fixes it. So it would easily fall under this general malaise of external combination of external and internal influences that cause the immune system to no longer work correctly. We're going to post that link as well to the labyrinth syndrome. Thank you, Chris. Well, we've lost Scott yet one more time, so I'm going to have to call it a day. Thank you very much for being here. If you want to join us, I'm going to just pause the recording, but if you want to join in and talk, I'm open to that.